Me.
Oh. Log Talk Radio.
And we're on the air.
I should have something that does that. I don't know if they heard. I know 1,000 mics heard it because they hear everything. People are, well, they hear it up until when we go online with them. But
when you turn it off.
So they heard the little. Anyway, what was this now? There's something.
You have a little trumpet. Little.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to find that.
Yeah. Little
okay.
Trumpet sound.
Yeah, that'll be good.
I like that.
it's 7 o'clock in Florida, which is where we are emitting live from right now. 1.5 glasses later. And it's 84 degrees here in beautiful downtown Zephyr Hills, population over 1 million something. And we have quite a show tonight. Ron is with us on the lines here. He's ready to go. And welcome back, Ron.
Thank you. And thank you, bus people. We can talk about the bus people. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah, the bus people are, they just all, passed us.
Hmm. All settled in and everything. Yeah,
yeah, there you go. And we will be back in 1 minute with Ron's going to do a little recap. And I guess you're going to let us know where you went to, I guess.
We're going to talk about my vacation and California.
And then we'll start off with California sometime. During this hour, it's all about wine. And we are live. If you'd like to give us a call, get on the phones now with us. You have 58 minutes to give us a call. Area code 646-727-3235. If you didn't get it, grab a pen and pencil, or grab a pen and paper, and write it down because it'll be repeated during this. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Yay!
Hey.
Yeah, well.
I just noticed here, Mike, I want to tell you, for those of you out there listening, Mike says he's hooked up to an older version of Skype. Tonight, I just noticed here that you are using an old version of Skype and cannot combine IM at the same time. So if you try to instant message me, I won't get it. It won't work with the old version.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's the new version for the Unix operating system, which is what my laptop is on right now.
Oh,
so I don't know.
The little thing here says you're hooked up. You're using the old version. You can't combine it with IM.
Okay.
So.
Oh, well, okay, then I'll just have
to
let
go. You know. The little technical thing there we had to clear up, nothing to do with anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, that's fine. So but you can hear it, and 1,000 mics is on with us still, and because I'm getting all the lights on in there. And we're going to start off and for this 56 minutes left, and if you'd like to give us a call, again, 646-727-3235, or chat with us on 1000mics.com. On our little page there, you can open up the comment box, type in something and click send, and we'll see it on the screen here. You don't have to log in or anything. Just send us a little comment and whatever you want to say on, and we'll try and read it down on the air, and we'll give it a break. Also, you have Wine Fest coming up this Saturday.
Yes.
So we want to let them know a little bit more about that coming up in a bit. So stay tuned for that. And take it away, Ron. Welcome back. Woohoo!
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was gone for a couple of weeks here. Last week we had an event at the winery. We had actually, the Nature Coast tours. Thank you. My engineer had to remind me. Nature Coast tourism group was in, and we had ourselves a bunch of people representing Nature Coast, which is where we are. For any of you not listening or not from this area, we are the Nature Coast of Florida. Florida's got all their coastal areas divided up into cute little names, and we're the Nature Coast. Mm-hmm. And as if no one else is nature, but they have the Gold Coast, and they have the Sun Coast, and they have all sorts of stuff. We're in Nature Coast. So we had the Nature Coast Tourism Group come in. A nice meeting. We had A lot of people come in. If anyone, and let me give a plug for Nature Coast here, if anyone decides to come and visit us, or if you live in this area, there are all sorts of cool things to do in the area. There's a shop that does Indian relics and Indian stuff, Indian jewelry and everything. There is a couple of zoos. There's one that has giraffes and zebras and tortoises and all sorts of different things like that that's located in Hernando County. There's just a wide variety of different things, manatee petting. We can't forget the mermaids at Wikiwachi too. And so if you're looking at doing stuff, or if you're coming to Florida, obviously not in the Super Bowl in 2014 because they gave it to New York, but if you're coming to Florida anytime soon, jump up here north of Tampa and visit the Nature Coast, something we're proud of here. Zephyr Hills, Mike's located in the Nature Coast, as am I, as is the winery. So we'd love to see you come visit us. Now, week before that, I jumped on a big Silverbird airplane and flew out to Tucson, Arizona. My son and daughter-in-law live there and just recently moved there, as a matter of fact, a couple of months ago. But my daughter-in-law had a baby girl on the 23rd of April, Holly Sophia. Thank you. Yeah, she's cute as a bug here. So I went out to visit Holly. And, you know, like I say, what can you do with a baby but, you know, hold it for a few minutes, have your picture taken with it, and then go do something else. And I did go do something else. Actually, we climbed to the top of Mount Williamson, which is a big mountain setting right next to Tucson there, elevation 8,200 feet, I believe, which is pretty high, but Tucson itself is already at 2,500 feet, so it's about, you know, 6,000 feet higher than Tucson. So went to top of Mount Lemmon, which gave us a great view of the area. And actually, Mount Lemmon during the winter is a ski resort. They have a couple of ski lifts there, and it's, I think, the southernmost ski resort in the United States. It's not a big course, not a big mountain up at the top for skiing, but it was sort of cool. You can see the thing. And actually, when I was there, there was areas on top of the mountain that still had snow, which I was surprised. But went up to Mount Lemmon, got down from Mount Lemmon, and my daughter-in-law was tired, and so was the baby. So we dropped them off at their place and went to a couple of wineries. My son and I drove to a couple of wineries. Elgin, the little town that you broadcast from two or 3 weeks ago there, Mike?
Yep, that's right.
We were in Elgin ourselves. And I'll tell you, you did not give it enough credit of how small that town was. It is a small town. And when they said 635 people, they had to be counting, you know, 20, 30 miles out from the center of town to include all those people in it. It was a very, very small town. And so we went down to Elgin, and outside of Elgin a short ways, and following the GPS to how to get there. It took us on the windy, twisty back roads and over rock and gravel roads and all that. We got to our first winery down there. And
Is that one that we've talked about? Or
No, not that. Bring me the glass, the two glasses up there. Went to the first winery, and we went in there. A very nice winery. You're sitting on top of a hill. I'll have the name for you here in just a second. I'm checking it out. Let's see. There's the other one up there too. I'm having my engineer grab the glasses for me here. A very nice place. They have a pretty big facility. They had a bar. You walk inside. They had a tasting bar on down at the end, away from the front cash register bar. Sonita Vineyards, S-O-N-O-I-T-A, Sonita Vineyards, sitting at the top of a hill. Great view of the area around there. The vineyards were up on the slopes of the hills and stuff. It was windy, though, and I asked them about the wind, and they said the wind is there all the time, and you can really tell the wind was coming out of the south, sort of the southwest, and they had trees around the winery there, two or three trees, tall trees, and they were actually growing at an angle because of the wind. It was amazing. This wind was just like constant in that area. But the wines were very nice. I met the winemaker. I told him who I was, and he came out, and we talked for a good 15, 20 minutes about what he's doing there. And he got his start actually in California, and had an opportunity to start working with the Sonido Winery in Arizona there. And so he grabbed the job, and he's making wines there. They do a big variety of wines. They had 9 wines we tasted. Wine tasting costs. I mean, everyone, just about everywhere now, starting to charge for wine tasting, it seems. It was $5 for wine tasting. It did include their glass, so we got the glass, got to taste all the wines. The young lady who gave us wine tasting had only been working there for, what she said, 2 or 3 months, I think, at the most. She just recently started there. She did a very nice job on the wine tasting. She offered chocolate with a couple of the wines, which was very good. She also offered some type of a nut that goes well with some of the wines, and brought out some of the flavor and stuff. So very nice presentation, very nice wine tasting. My son picked up a couple of bottles of wine, and since I was flying and no way to transport it, which I was really sad that I didn't have an opportunity to grab some, but they're very restricted on their shipping. Most wineries in Arizona don't ship wines in the summer because of the heat. And they'll tell you, I asked them, I said, could you ship me some? They said, we prefer not to in the summer because of the heat. By the time they get out of there and they're sitting in the boxes and they get to the people, they don't retain the qualities that they're looking for. And so they try to keep shipping down. Mm. Also, the shipping regulations, the state's pretty tight on some of those, and so they have to watch where they're shipping to and all that. So I didn't get the chance to have any get any of the wines, but very interesting wine, nice winery. It was the winery itself was just right there in the taste room, you know, a few steps behind the 40 feet from the tasting bar. Behind us was the big open door that led to the tanks and the oak barrels and everything. And so it was all right there. And the offices were upstairs. They all the paperwork and everything is done upstairs in the winery and all. So a very nice place, a lot of fun, interesting wines, and just a real good time. From Sonoida, we drove over to Keith Joshua Vineyards.
That one we did talk about, yeah.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. talked about Keith Joshua quite a bit because I had called Keith and I interviewed him.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to actually meet him. I cool. walked in the winery. I told my son as we were driving up, I said, I have already met this young man that is at this winery here. And he goes, oh, he says, well, you know, what about him? I said, well, you know, it's only about 30 years old, and he did some work in Australia, and now he's back here, and he's basically does everything himself. And, you know, I said, it was really interesting talking with him. I had a good time, and he's just really an interesting young man. So we went inside, and he was with a couple about three other people were standing at the bar, and he had a real nice new-looking tasting room, a big parking lot out in front. The vineyards are all around it in the back and on the sides. And, again, flat Arizona, not a lot of cactus. I mean, it's just we were south of Tucson by about 2 hours, and a flat, absolutely nothing, no cactus, no, you get on up in Tucson, around Tucson where we were there, and there's a lot of cactus and Sonora cactus and the shorter cactus and everything. But down here, it was just like it was void of cactus. We're only about 20 miles north of the border here, which actually while we were driving back up to Tucson, we were stopped by Border Patrol. They had a roadblock there and asked us if we were American citizens, and we said yes, and I'm glad they didn't ask for papers because I had no papers.
It was a little late for that, too. Wasn't it?
I know.
We're here already.
Yeah, we're already there. So.
Supposed to catch us 20 miles ago.
Yeah, should have stopped me back at the border. Huh? Yeah. But they're only about 20 miles or so or less from the border. And it's flat, just absolutely not flat. It's rolling hills and stuff like that, but nothing on it. And that's, I think that fascinated me, and the fact that, you know, we're in southern areas, but they are on a plateau. And this is something that it's really interesting, and I think I might have talked about this, but I really got the full impact of it when I was there. They're on a plateau, and being on a plateau, more wind, different climate. Tucson might hit 95 degrees, but this area, Elgin, a couple of hours south, will be lucky if it hits 80. But the elevation is so much higher. Like I said, Tucson is at 2,500 feet. This plateau is at about 5,000 feet. So you climb a lot on this, but you don't really notice the climbing when you're driving there and all. So we went inside, and a very nice tasting room, like I say, a very, very modern place. He had a little upstairs sit-down dining-type area and a big patio out and back, covered patio out and back. And tasting room had a little fireplace in it. He had a few items up on the shelf, not a whole lot of items for sale, but a few items up on the shelf. I walked in, and he said, hello. And I said, you Keith? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I'm Ron Hunt. I said, I talked to you on the phone about your winery on Blog Talk Radio. And he came from around the counter, shook my hand, hugged me, and says, you did a great job on the show. He says, I listened. He said, and it was really, he said, thank you. He said, you represented me fairly. And he said, it was really nice. He said, I enjoyed the program. He said, I try to listen as much as I can now, although it comes on from 4 to 5 there because of the time change.
Oh, yeah.
And so he says he's usually at work, and so it's sometimes it's difficult. But Keith, if you are listening tonight, hi. My son was quite impressed that I knew this guy down here in Arizona then. But
did you see? I'm sorry. Did you see any sheep on the property?
Actually, I did. He had some out there. He had some out there. I asked him about it too, and he said, "Yeah." He said, "You look on over there," and they were in the far corner of it. But yeah, he had some sheep wandering around out there.
Control the weeds or something.
Like that? Yeah, to control the weeds. He says he's been busy planting some more grapes and stuff. But I tasted his wines. His wines are great. He really, really is doing a wonderful job at putting his wines together. And I was going to dig out my tasting sheet, and I misplaced it. I tried to look for it this afternoon. I misplaced it. But he really, really did a great job of putting these wines together. He does a Cabernet Franc that is just absolutely beautiful. Malverde that is gorgeous, a Petit Syrah, a Semillon, Verdot, a Tempranillo that is just really, really nice. Here in Florida, I learned a long time ago that we don't make wines that we like, we make wines that sell, which tends to be a little bit sweeter style because most people don't like a full-bodied, heavier wine. Keith just approaches like, these are the ones I like, these are the ones I make. If you don't like it, don't buy it. And he's doing a great job on it. I mean, absolutely a beautiful job on his wines. He has a Barbera that is a blend of 40% Barbera, 60% Petit Verdot that is just really, really nice. Good Barbera characteristics coming out of it and mellowed out a little bit with the Petit Verdot. Really, really impressed. I can't tell you how impressed I was with his wines. My son bought a couple bottles there, and again, I was unable to because of flying, but we're going to exchange some wines. He says he's going to start working on a sherry, and so I'm going to send him my strawberry port, and he's going to send me his sherry, and we're going to do a little trade here just to to sample. But it's like, you know, one of the fun things of doing this is the fact that I've got to meet people like this and to actually talk to someone and meet him in person was just really, really interesting.
Yeah.
He also does an event there twice a month on Sundays. Or no, every Sunday. I'm sorry, every Sunday he does a brunch where he has a chef come in and prepare a omelet or little small scrambled eggs and stuff buffet. Plus, he has fresh produce and fresh fruit, all locally grown. Everything is done locally. All the pork and sausages and everything is all done locally. And he promotes all this stuff there and does it every Sunday from 9 to 1. And great. He was telling me, you know, about it. It sounded like a great thing. A lot of people show up, he says. And it's just, it promotes local a lot. So more power to him. But Keith, if you're listening, great job, buddy. And I'll get you some of that strawberry port out reasonably soon here. And I will look forward to your sherry. Mm. Also, on my trip, I played golf a couple of times. And any of you golf people out there, Arizona golf is really fun, especially the courses where the elevation where you're hitting a par three that goes out to 150 yards and drops 30 yards. That's just quite exciting. But coming back, I stopped in Kansas City, Missouri, and visited with my family there for a while. I have a couple sisters and their family, their husbands and kids and my mother. And I had a chance to visit for a while. And my nephew mentioned a little new wine shop that opened up not too far from where he lived. And so we had an opportunity to stop by there. And that was really a lot of fun, too. It was interesting, too, because this little wine shop had a couple of wines from China. They had a couple of wines from Egypt. They had two or three wines from Yugoslavia. They had a couple of wines from England, and then they had wines from local Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, Arkansas. I was astonished at the variety of wines that this little shop had. All reasonably priced. Nothing was too expensive. Again, I was so disappointed that I couldn't grab some of those because I had no baggage at all at that time. I'd already shipped everything on through, and I was just doing a stop. But a bunch of different wines from a bunch of different areas. My brother-in-law said he's going to pick up some wines for me and try to get them to me from the different areas. But I was just really quite impressed with this little small wine shop. I also went to another wine store, Berbilia. And Berbilia is a very big store. A lot of my trade journals list Berbilia as one of the bigger wine stores in the country consistently. And a little disappointed in their, actually in that particular store I stopped by, a little disappointed in what they had available. It was really low on stock and wasn't too impressive. Also, while I was out in Arizona, and everybody that I saw had anything about wine, I brought up the House Bill 5034, the new bill that you're talking about for not shipping of wines. Some people were aware of it. Others were not aware of it. Everyone is appalled by it and said they're going to be writing their congressman. So, again, I bring it up. House Bill 5034, this is basically puts a lot of control back into the fact that you have to have a distributor to ship wine, and it's going to really stop a lot of the small wineries from shipping again. So if you are one to write your congressman or email your congressman or anything, by all means do it, but stop this bill. So in a few minutes here, I'm going to go into California, a quick review and all that. But before we do that, I'm going to turn this over to Mike and let him give a little promo on our festival coming up this Saturday. We haven't had one in a couple of weeks, and we got one coming up this Saturday. So
go ahead and run that. And,
run that.
We'll be back in exactly 43 seconds.
43 seconds.
From now, of course.
Coming up this Saturday, it's Wine Festival, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Florida Estates Winery. Enjoy live music, food, homemade crafts, and unique gift items, and more. And, of course, world-class wines from Florida Estates Winery. This event is free and open to the public. Enjoy the great outdoor setting at the winery this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Wine Festival, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. For more information, call 813-996-2113 or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. It's always a great day at Florida Estates Winery.
Yeah, and Ron is jet-setting across the U.S. visiting some of these places.
Yeah, and we got a change on that, too. You need change. Well, actually, I don't know if it's a permanent change or not. We're going to try it this week. We're going to do the festival from 11 to 4 instead of 10 to 3.
Oh, okay.
Well, people aren't getting up and getting motivated and moving out before 11 anyway, and so we decided that we would go an hour later on both of them. So
Saturday, 11 to 4. And if they get there at 10 o'clock, they're still
If they get there at 10 o'clock, we're still going to be there. All the vendors might not be set up. It's not going to be a problem. So
just in case. And so also, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's not a problem at all. But 11 to 4, we're going to try it for a couple festivals and see what happens.
All right. So come out this weekend. Enjoy the music this weekend with Light and Classic Rock featuring Dan Burr. Is that still a go for Dan Burr?
It's still a go. Yeah, Dan's a new one. He stopped by a few weeks ago and wanted to join our list of entertainers. And so we put him in the cycle, and he's going to be there this week and do some music for us.
That'll be good. He does early rock ballads, some country, some folk, and some stuff you've probably never heard. So check it out. Crystal is going to offer hand-painted macaw feathers. And
everyone's excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Face painting also. So got the kids, bring them out. Just because it's a winery, bring the kids out. It's a family-friendly place, and you definitely want to, fun for everybody. So come out there. Ashley will be, she doing? Oh, hand-painted wine glasses, margarita glasses, and matching pitchers. That's going to be cool. And who else is Melody Blondie's Roost? Jams, Jellies, and Treats is going to be at Florida Estates Winery this Saturday. And so check it out. And they have a new line of organic jams and jellies. So check it out. So be there Saturday, 11 to 4. And there's also others, Joseph with Sandy Toes Cruises. And oh, that's a neat name, Sandy Toes. I just got it.
Got that? That is a cool name.
I better go get another glass. Let's see. And
enlightenment. See what wine does?
All right, here we go. Let's see. Tina is going to return, and for this event, we'll have handmade soap and jewelry from Stacy'sGifts.com and also Avon products. So you definitely
also,
want to check it out.
We've got a dog rescue group's going to be out there bringing a couple of little puppies with them.
Oh, cool.
Available for adoption. So if anyone's looking at adopting a dog now, we're going to have a couple of little female puppies they said they're going to be bringing out, and so which will be up for adoption. So that should be fun.
I heard you with the dog thing, and I was reading the rest of it, and it says that's no connection, though. This is not a connection. This is actual food. But anyway, Holy Smokes Hot Dogs will be there as well. I just wanted
no connection.
No. But actually, a great cause. Go out and see your next pet. It will be out there ready for adoption. So check it out. And 11 to 4. Okay, we'll have to mark that.
Yeah, so, 11.
Very cool. Okay, I'll change that on the ad. So.
All right.
30 minutes. Give us a call, 646-727-3235. Get on the program. You have 30 minutes. Counting now.
Our EMS, IMS, we can also.
Well, they can IM you. They can IM me now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
California. We're going to start talking about California. Actually, it's going to probably spread out over the next 4 or 5 weeks, I would guess, because California is big. A lot of wineries there. Let me a little bit of review. More than over 500,000 acres of wine grapes are planted in California. If it were a country in itself, it would come in fourth behind France, Italy, and Spain. That's how much wine grape is planted in California. They account for 91% of the total production of wine in the United States. 72% of total sales in the United States comes out of California. And 98% of U.S. wine exports come from California. So it's California. I mean, when you talk about wine, California is definitely the wine state for this country. And they grow just about everywhere there. There's about 50%, around about 55% of it is red grapes. About 45% of it's white grapes. So it's pretty much even on between red and white. Chardonnay, by far the leader of wine. And if you've been listening to the show over the last almost 2 years, I guess we've been doing this. If you've been listening to the show, you've noticed in almost every country, every region, everywhere in the world, it seems to be Chardonnay is planted and grown and harvested and made into a wine. The Chardonnay is a very easy grape that seems to use. Some of the other leading white wine varieties out of California, the Colombard and Chenin Blanc. Cabernet Sauvignon is the leading red grape, ahead of Zinfandel and Merlot in that order, which surprised me. I sort of expected Merlot to be up there, but Napa Valley had California had a attack of Phylloxera type B during the 1990s, and a lot of areas replanted in Cabernet Sauvignon. And now, when I talk about over 500,000 acres of wine grapes, I mean wine grapes. There are thousands of acres in California planted in grapes that are used for raisins. You go to the Central Valley, and you go through miles and miles and miles of vineyards, and these are raisin vineyards. It's strange to see all these vineyards around there and realizing that all of this is going to become raisins. And you'll see great big warehouses where they dry them and where they make the raisins out of them. California landscape, very diversified. We're going to be talking about the different ones as we go through the different types of going through the different types of grapes or different types of regions in California. So very diversified. Two mountain ranges really impact the wine growing regions more than anything. You've got on the western edge of the state, you've got the coastal range, which is rather close to the coast. I mean, if you're traveling up Highway 1 in California, you're seeing the hills and everything on your as you're going north on your right. And then we have the Sierra Nevada range, which is on in toward toward the border. Big influence, big impact from the mountain ranges on the wine growing regions and the wine growing areas of California. Grapes of California, Zinfandel, Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon are predominant grapes. As far as the blush wine, Zinfandel, the white Zin. And again, if you're listening to this program, you probably know that it's white Zin, which signifies the blush style, and red Zin are just Zin, that is the red grape. A lot of people come into the winery and say, I really do love a Zin. And I said, well, the only thing I have is a plantation red. And they said, well, no, the Zin's not red, it's pink. And I said, well, and you have to distinguish the white Zin, a lot of people. And in California, they are distinguishing it. When you talk to anyone out in California now, they will say white Zin or red Zin, and really actually distinguish the two. Chardonnay is the most common grape for white wines coming out of California. And Cabernet Sauvignon is the number one red wine. These are all, the table wine categories, respectively. It was interesting. I thought that Merlot might have jumped up there, but Merlot wasn't seriously planted until late 80s, early 1990s, and started to make a lot more wine out of it. Cabernet's been around for a long time, so as far as all of last century, the three I just named are the big ones out of California and just about everywhere. Fortified wines and sweet wines are used a lot. The Mission grape, the original grape, and if you listen to the program 3 weeks ago, the Mission grape is actually planted by missionaries. The Mission grape, they don't know where the name came from or actually what it is. It's just a nondescript grape that was used as a wine grape in California for many, many years and was planted around in a lot of different areas. It's fallen out of favor. You don't find it too much anymore. It's if you do, it might just be as a filler, as an extra grape, but it's really not used as a wine grape. A lot of cross-pollination is being used in California now with France, Italy, Australia, even South America. It's amazing. California is becoming so diversified in their styles and in their grapes that it's hard to imagine them not trying to emulate other countries and other styles, as do other countries and other styles emulate California. I want to talk about terroir for a little bit here. A couple of things I read about California and terroir. Terroir, T-E-R-R-O-I-R. This is a French word meaning the soil, site, climate, everything. Thrown into the vineyard to create the vineyard for what it is. There are no English equivalent to the word terroir. We have to describe it as soil, site, climate, weather, everything else, which basically is climate. We have to say it out because we don't have a word equivalent, but terroir is a French word, meaning that the everything combined gives the quality to that wine. Big in France, very big in France, and in a lot of other areas. California doesn't really talk about terroir so much. Most of your wineries in California don't really mention terroir or the influence of everything causing it to be what it is. California terroir is basically your microclimates, and because your microclimates influences so much, you won't see a whole lot of mention of terroir in California wines or in California when you discuss California grapes. So I want to clarify, I want to mention that. I've seen a couple of things talking about it. Varietal wines, these are the ones that contain at least 75% of that particular grape, dominate California wines. You will find a lot of varietal wines coming out of California because they have so many different types of wines. Although you will find some blends, and again, like I just said, California is starting to do a lot of different blends. They're doing a Bordeaux blend, which they call Meritage, that is a classic Bordeaux blend, and it's becoming more and more popular. And the Meritage can either be in a red or white, a blending of the Bordeaux varieties, which is Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot, a white blend of Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, and Muscadel. These have to meet legal criteria, legal standards, or else they can't call it Meritage. It's becoming very popular in California wineries now to make a blend like this and get the approval so they can do the French-style Bordeaux blend. AVAs, American Viticulture Areas, a lot of them in California. The first ABA was established in 1978. They're now 142, I think, 143 in the United States, and there may be more than that last I read, with about 85 of them in California. So California has the most AVAs. You can have an AVA of American Viticulture Area of California, then you can have one of Napa, and then you can have an even smaller designation within Napa of an AVA. which actually limits what's grown there and what you can put on the bottle and stuff. The viticulture in California, the they've over the years have experimented and came up with the absolute best types of rootstock. A lot of grapes, almost all grapevines, are planted on rootstock. And the reason is because they are resistant to phylloxera. And I've talked about phylloxera, but as a quick review here, phylloxera is a pest that gets into the grape root system and kills the grapevines. They've used AXR1 is the main rootstock that's been resistant. This is used basically around the world. It's one of the most common rootstocks to be used for grapes to combat phylloxera. And AXR1 is in the mid to late 1980s started to fail. It started to give a type B of what they call the biotype B, or a new mutation of phylloxera that was attacking it. And so they replanted a lot of California grapes. And when they did, a lot of areas planted heavily in Cabernet Sauvignon. Napa Valley, for one, planted very heavily in Cabernet Sauvignon. But the viticulture areas of California are as diverse as the areas themselves. So as we talk about the different regions and stuff, we will be talking about the different viticulture areas. Irrigation is used very extensively in California. If you've ever been to California, you will see irrigation canals all over the place. Especially in central valleys and stuff like that, it is almost a necessity. If not, then you're going to have not the heavy fruit that you want. Although there is that theory that if you are going to get yourself good fruit, you can easily starve the grape from water, starve the plant from water, and it's going to think it's going to die, and so therefore it will start feeding more juice and more energy and more of its life support. Thank you. My engineer was helping me out with a word there I couldn't find. Into the grape and not just into the plant, and therefore making the grape stronger and better. And then once it thinks it's going to die and it's put all this energy into the grape, you water it and it says, oh, I'm going to live. And so by this time it's too late, and all this good stuff has went to the grape. So that's just a quick review of some of the California. And again, I will be going into different regions, different areas of California and all that, and different stuff about it. Microclimates and different things are all going to be, I'll discuss some of this stuff here. First, I want to start tonight, though, with Lake County. Lake County. This is an AVA. Lake County is an American Viticulture Area. Lake County is located north of Napa Valley and east of Mendocino County. It is a small county area. It has Mayacamas Mountains on the western edge of it, and these Mayacamas Mountains separates Mendocino from Lake County. It is a rather small area. It's not stretched out, not real big at all. It is an AVA within itself, and there is a new AVA in Lake County called Tracy Hills AVA, which is a new designation that was just granted last year, 2009. So a new AVA within Lake County. Lake County has a unique climate. This is one of the things about Lake County that I found. I got a hold of the winemaker, Mark Birch, at Wildhurst Vineyards in Lake County. And Mark was really quite interesting. I enjoyed talking with him about the vineyards and about the wines and what he was doing and how he was putting stuff together and everything. And he was telling me about the microclimates there, about the areas there in in Lake County. A Clear Lake. Clear Lake is located right in the middle of Lake County. It's the largest natural freshwater lake in the state of California. Most people, whenever they think of the lakes in California and stuff like that, and that's not including Tahoe, because Tahoe splits the two over the state line, so they didn't count that. But actually, Clear Lake is the largest natural freshwater lake in California. Because of the lake, there is a lot of influence from the lake that fluctuates and controls the temperature. So it gives a coastal influence, like, to Lake County, although Lake County is not coastal by any means. You've got the Mayacamas Mountains that are separating it from Mendocino County, which then Mendocino County is separated also by another the coastal range of mountains, and before you get to the ocean. So you've got a ways to go. But because of the lake, the coolness of the lake, and the influence of the lake, it causes the moist air to move up the hillside during the day with the warmth of the day, and then back down toward the lake in the evenings. So it keeps a pretty stable climate, a pretty even climate. And so you're not getting extremely cold temperatures, and you're not getting a whole lot of moisture that you get from the Pacific Ocean as you get closer to the Pacific Ocean. And so the Clear Lake is really the biggest influence of anything in Lake County. And because of Clear Lake, most of the wineries in Lake County, in fact, all of them that I've checked on and ones I've talked to, are located around Clear Lake. That is the central point of Lake County. And so most of them are there. The soil in Lake County is actually the same as Napa. Mount St. Helena in the past, in centuries past, has erupted and laid a volcanic soil down all in that part of the, well, actually that part of the state, that part of the country. And this volcanic soil has a lot of mineral content in it, very porous and ingenious rock that makes for great grape growing soil. And then there is an alluvial topsoil that is just enough to maintain the minerals and the nutrients that it needs to produce just some great grape growing regions there in Lake County. It's again a lot like Napa Valley, but because of the soil and the volcanoes there, Lake County. Something else I wanted to mention about Lake County here too, that I found quite interesting. Lake County is one of the earliest vineyards in California. It was planted in Lake County right after the Civil War, and before gold was discovered in the hills just beyond there. Lake County had vineyards planted, and actually was doing quite well. Before the turn of the century, Lake County had over 36 wineries and over 7,000 acres of vineyards planted. Then they were quite well noted throughout the wine world and around the United States and stuff for their wines. They really, Lake County was quite prestigious in the first of the century. And then, as so often happens throughout this country and in many areas we've talked about and everything, Prohibition came in, and that was pretty much the axe that chopped down the vineyards. I mean, it just devastated the grape growing areas of Lake County. They had no reason to continue growing grapes. They had no reason to keep wineries open or anything, and just about everybody went out of business. It just collapsed after Prohibition, and it's now taken them taken them quite some time to get back to the point where they are able to boast, I don't know, 14 wineries, I believe, that are around the lake now, as opposed to 36 from years ago. Waldhurst Winery, again, Mark Birch, the winemaker at Waldhurst. Mark Birch has worked around California for a number of years. He attended college in California. Agricultural, actually, is what he was going to go into. He was proud of the fact that he was part of Future Farmers, raising livestock and doing all that. And his earnings from his Champion stock, his livestock and cattle that he's raising, and helped pay for his degree at community college. And then afterwards, after he got out of community college, he took a job with Gallo, harvesting and doing vineyard work. And he said that this really changed his whole outlook. He was going to go into a agricultural life and farming. And you know, he said he grew up in Hillmar, California, which is central California, Central Valley, and farming communities and stuff. He said once he started work for Gallo, he realized that he'd like to get into viticulture. And so he transferred to Fresno State, which Fresno State's a big viticulture school now and has been for a long time. It's really catching on now. And so he was working at Gallo and the lab. He actually got a job in the lab and continued going to school and got his degree from in viticulture from Fresno State. He continued to work for Gallo, he said, and worked his way up and got himself some good jobs there, production manager and all sorts of stuff. And then after he'd been working for Gallo for a while, he was offered a job with Sebastian, he said, as a cellar master, and he said he couldn't pass it up. It was a great opportunity to move up. And he worked as a cellar master for Sebastian for a while. And then he moved over to Kendall Jackson and worked at Kendall Jackson and was promoted up to assistant winemaker. And when he was at Kendall Jackson, he met the owners of Waldhurst Vineyards and went to work for them. So he's had himself quite a background over the years of in viticulture and working for the different wineries and stuff. He's putting out a whole bunch of different grapes. He's really quite proud of some of the stuff he's got. He's says he works a lot on the Sauvignon Blanc. He loves the Sauvignon Blanc grape and what it can do. And he said, and in Lake County, the Sauvignon Blanc grape is just a phenomenal grape that is just got so much potential. So that's been his passion, the Sauvignon Blanc. But he's won awards with a lot of other grapes. His Chardonnays and Cabernets have won golds in different competitions. And he's got different golds for his Sauvignon Blanc also and things. So he liked talking about Sauvignon Blanc. He said it was really one of his favorite grapes to work with and favorite ones to use and favorite ones to try to improve on all that. He was telling me about the altitude of Lake County too, how that really affects the growing. He said he couldn't talk about grape growing unless he talked about the altitude of, especially since he came from the Central Valley where, you know, some areas there were almost sea level except for the mountains to block it from flooding. The lake itself, the lake level is at 1,370 feet above sea level. It's really pretty high. And then the vineyards themselves go up to about 2,600 feet. So you've got about 1,300 feet climb from the lake level, the valley of Lake County on up into the hills, which really provides for cool winter conditions, but not a lot of bad weather. The growing season starts much later there because of the altitude and because of being so far north. And the fall weather comes in sooner. So you've got an early start to winter and a late start to spring. So your grapes are pushed to present themselves as fast as they can. He said because of that, he's really He's constantly trying to bring out the best and the most in the grapes that he possibly can because of the elevation, which is gives very cool eatings, which is great, he said, because it really pushes the sugar content into the grape, which helps the helps for the early harvest that they have to do there. Vineyards throughout Lake County, and I noticed this too, and I asked him about if they grow their own. They do most of their own, he said, but there's a lot of growers in Lake County that do sell to the wineries, and a lot of the growers have been there for generations. He mentioned two or three different ones, which I didn't write down the names, but of different growers that that have been doing the same areas and same grapevines for 4 and 5 generations. They don't have big vineyards. They don't have enormous ones. They do have smaller areas measured in, you know, a small amount of acres, not great big enormous land area for grapevines, and therefore they take a little bit better care of them. They, you know, it's a little bit more personal touch. And the growers there think it does reflect into the wines that are sold in Lake County and made from Lake County. Wildhurst Vineyard, Wildhurst is used to be a pear farm. In 1966, they pulled out pear trees and planted 30 acres of Zinfandel, and that's been that's when it got started. But the winery itself didn't open until 2004, I think he said. I don't see it here in my notes. The winery was built in 1997, but they've expanded on it since then. 2004 was the latest expansion. That's where I got the 2004. So, interesting. I'm going to continue next week on Lake County because I have to talk about Tulip Hill. Tulip Hill is a winery on the east side of the lake in Lake County, and they have a unique approach to wines there. The reason I want to talk about them is because they are very big and very strong on their flowers and stuff, and they also have off-site tasting down by Palm Springs that they're really quite proud of. Also, I want to talk about Sagal Vineyard, or Vine Garden, they call themselves. They don't call themselves a vineyard, they call it a vine garden, because he is very big in biodynamic wines and working with biodynamic. And it gave me a good opportunity to talk about and explain biodynamic next week also when we talk about Sagal Vineyard Garden. So that's we're continuing with California Lake County next week. Thank you.
Very interesting. I put a couple of notes as I usually do on the 1000 mic side, so I usually put that in the comment section and add some of what you're saying to that. So kind of interesting. Okay, so don't forget Saturday. We have 2 minutes. Okay, Saturday we have don't forget the Wine Fest. Time change, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. So if you're in the area, even if you're not in the area, make arrangements and get here Saturday morning for Wine Fest. Entertainment and vendors, and it's going to be really cool out there at the winery. Oh, thank you. And
beautiful weather, too.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And we will see everybody next Thursday. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll start the outro here in a second. And thank you, Ron, as always.
And, thank you, Mike.
Very informative, and it's really cool. We're covering the states, and we're learning all about the wines that we see on our shelves and, you know, out while we're out looking for wine.
yeah, you're right.
So, really cool. And we'll see everybody next Thursday at 7 p.m. This is Mike. Thank you. And I don't know if they're hearing
this. They can't hear that.
Yeah, let me 1,000 mics probably. But, okay, we'll see you all next week. Thank you, and have a good evening, everybody. And here
thank you. Good night, everyone.
Title thing.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@floon.com. That's CORP at flewn.com or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDawg1. That's DAWG and the number 1. Email address.